6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's get it. Welcome to the Dear Son Show. We had meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. Forefathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless, so nobody's left out. These are the conversations we want our sons to access as they grow through life into manhood, so no topics off limits. I'm one of your hosts, D. Johns.
I'm your other host, Jay Black.
Jay Black, you got a smile on your face.
I'm on top of the world.
That's not foreign, but talk about it.
I'm on top of the world. I feel good. I'm in such a positive mood today, and that's not new either, but man, it seems like a lot of things are falling in a good spot for me right now. Yeah. I'm excited about it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Rub it off. Let some of that rub off over here.
Yeah. The room full of it. How your week going?
It's going great, man. Had a couple pods this week.
Yeah.
One that's coming out today, not as you're watching, but as we're recording this with Joe T. Got deep.
Yeah.
Some unexpected twists and turns in that one.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Good. Me too.
I was on somebody else's podcast this week. Rob Richard, Forfeit Fatherhood.
Yeah.
Cali.
Yeah.
We ran it back. So that was good.
That is good.
And I got one tonight. And the activity is up.
The work.
Activities up. Like, share, and subscribe.
Please.
That part. Do that early. Also, memberships. Need to talk about memberships more because members are joining. So I appreciate y'all. I think we got 5 now, and I'm not ashamed to say it, because that's 5 more than we had
that's five more.
A month ago. So membership, you do get perks. Make sure you check the tiers. Make sure that you're financially and fiscally responsible. Be physically responsible, too. That's a whole nother story.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in, please make sure it's something you can sustain, because it really helps us. It helps us forecast what we can do on the channel in terms of resources, and every little bit helps. So we appreciate the subscribers we got. Shout out to y'all. Y'all are probably seeing this early. And like I said, there's some other perks. So get familiar with the tiers. Don't just jump in because I said jump in. And please, I would prefer that you do something that you can sustain. Of course, if your situation changes, you got to make a sacrifice somewhere. But don't give us false hope.
Right. That's important.
Don't jump in at the highest tier for half a month. Actually, I would take that. Anyhow.
Yeah.
I think we should get right into it.
Let's go.
Right into it.
On the gas.
For those that saw that got to the end of the last podcast, you were on a little tear.
I did.
A little tear about some feedback that we got on TikTok from a post that went up. And we won't rehash that. Go back and watch that episode. Go to TikTok, podcast_pops, or at JBlack, JEYBLAC.
Yes.
On TikTok. Catch us there because we're active. But what it led to was me questioning what is actually man code.
Right.
The topic was in that vein where you said your opinion on a thing that as a man at this stage in your life, in your situation, you're not doing certain things.
Right.
Some half of the population went crazy. Bro code, what y'all doing? Y'all snitching.
Struck a nerve.
Hit dogs always going to be the loudest and they going to holler first. But that didn't really bother me because that's just people telling on themselves.
Correct.
Like if you live in the shadows, you hate when people turn the lights on.
Correct.
And
correct.
I need the lights on.
Yeah. My life. Yeah, for real.
But what it really made me question was, like, at the essence of what you were saying, that had nothing to do with man code.
Period. You missed the point completely.
Yeah.
And that goes back. I'm a country boy. So I try to use my colloquialisms, if you will. But a thief think everybody steal. Right? So
that's classic. That's classic.
If I say to you, hey man, I'm not jumping off that bridge, you know, bungee jumping is not for me at this stage of my life. Oh man, just say your wife won't let you jump off the bridge then. Wait a minute, brother.
How do we get in your house?
Where did I say that at? Yeah. So I feel like on the topic of man code, I feel like we overly use it.
Yeah.
As a do what we want pass, get out of jail free card. Listen, I've witnessed men that have become successful, and then they jump and they start to betray man code, as they say, yeah. Right? So they start saying things or giving insight on the male perspective of if a woman says this is how the man receives it. That's not a news flash to other men. However, it's a news flash to women because now they're adjusting to that thing to maybe falsely represent themselves. That's a whole nother topic. But on this, if I say something that is a trend of men mm-hmm. right now doesn't apply to me, I've done it.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've participated. And we're going to unpack this some more in the episode. But I say I can't do this, or I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. It's somehow misconstrued that don't want is not allowed.
Cannot do it.
Or that I'm even saying what that looks like. And we'll get to that part. What you think about this overbeaten dead horse about man code this, man code that?
I'm trying to think. I was thinking back through my life if there was ever a specific conversation about what the code is. It always comes up in situations.
Right.
And an opinion is attached to that situation and the majority rules.
But yeah, yeah.
Like the pack that feels the same way I feel are right. and that's there's nothing manly about that because a man does what needs to be done. A man is honorable. The man is respectful. And then when we talk about these situations that don't look like that, somehow that's not man code to be that.
Right.
So I want to start with like, and I know my definition or my expectations of manhood for me and for others.
Yes.
Primarily me, because that's what I can control. Matured over time.
Yes.
So that phase, like you said, that phase in life, there was phases where if you get the call, we're going to DR tomorrow. I'm calling in work. If I got the bread,
we out.
I might be there the day after. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
But it doesn't appeal to me now. So it doesn't mean it's wrong for the people that are doing it. It means where I'm at in life right now, I'm cool.
It don't count.
There are things that I would much rather do than that, whether you believe my wife would let me or not. So just let's kind of walk through, like, where did the idea of man code, what's your earliest memory or experience? And I'm thinking through. I'm putting you on the spot.
Because I'm
pilot today. But it's like, and I hope as people are listening, they're thinking through it. Like, have I ever really had a conversation on man code? Or is it this innate thing that somehow we believe that we all know without discussing?
I feel like man code is a rolling journal. Meaning nobody really sits you down and it's like, it's too much. I can't think of it all.
Right.
As you make a mistake, I'll address it accordingly. That's kind of the fail approach to it. If that's the best description I got for it, right?
Yeah.
So now they'll wait till you, and I say they, these are your uncles, these are your older brothers, older cousins. It could even be your brothers and cousins on your age group. Yeah. Because now they're residential experts
exactly.
on everything, as all men are on every topic on planet Earth. We know everything by nothing.
Right.
And I'm not bashing men. I'm a man and I'm not that guy. Don't play with me. So if you look at it, though, man code only comes up when a violation has happened. Man, you shouldn't have said that. You just violated man code. Oh, wait a minute. What did I do? What did I say? Man, you,
man,
don't,
you can't say that.
You don't get in front of no women and say nothing like, man, we should listen to these women's feelings. Is that a violation? Or is that a violation depending on what age group you in? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because now, if there's a certain agenda on the table, again, room full of guys, room full of women, and now a certain energy is trying to be cast over the room.
Yeah.
And then somebody says something that's in conflict with that agenda or energy.
Yeah.
You violating man code. You finna wreck the room. What you doing?
See, even with that, let me interject.
Yeah.
To interrupt you.
Please.
Very, very specifically. I think the man code, the code aspect of that is, hey, James, remember when you, not the topic, but hey, you specific person, remember when we, I get that part of it.
Yes.
But to have a conversation about a man's perspective in front of women or sharing that perspective of a general thing, I don't think that violates. Like, I can't think of a topic right now where that would just in general, but having a healthy conversation about this is how men see it, this is how women see it.
Right.
We're sharing information. But if I say, hey, remember that time that you, and it puts you in a, and it puts you in a position that, number one, I don't know where you've discussed this elsewhere.
Right.
And what this is going to take you through if we put this on Front Street right now.
Right.
That part I get.
Yes.
But a general talk like, hey, I generally feel like this. About, let's get right into your example.
Right.
15 married men going to the DR for a specific thing. And a whole, let's frame it out early. The whole point of it was, what is the intent of the trip, of the night out? Because they say, you ain't got to go to DR to cheat. No, you don't.
You don't.
If you want to get real, cheating starts in your mind. Like the act, you already, a lot of times, already committed.
Right.
I'm going to be stupid and do this stupid thing. And you just waiting for the right
opportunity,
the right variable to come in to fit your stupid equation.
Right.
But like, if you know a trip is of a certain type that doesn't fit your lifestyle, and we ain't got to say, we only have to specify whatever it is. It doesn't fit me today where I'm at in life. I'm not going.
I'm not going, dog.
But you a simp though.
Look at lame-o.
Right.
He ain't asked his mama.
Right.
His wife told him no.
Yeah.
And that was somebody's response. They was like, man, just say your wife won't let you go. Hold on, bro.
There's several.
Because.
100 of them.
Let's think about this. If you really want to play the game, 15 men. You could be single. Let's do that.
Yeah.
15 adult men are going to this gorgeous island.
Mm-hmm.
They're going somewhere that's absolutely beautiful and remote. There's no tournament there. There's no sports there. There's no golf resort that's world renowned. There's nothing going on. No carnival, no festival. It's just we're all off work June the 3rd through the 7th. We're going to slide over to Turks and Caicos or whatever. We're going somewhere remote, exotic, beautiful.
Yeah.
Nobody's taking any women with them. Okay. So 15 guys going to a beautiful island with no women. Let's add the wrinkle. We're all married. 15 married men. 14 of them have never taken their wives to this same exact location.
Right.
So for me, if that's what those guys want to do, knock yourself out. I didn't say why you were going.
Right.
I didn't say what your agenda was, or if there was an agenda. Maybe y'all all are beach connoisseurs. Then you want to lay out on the beach, and this is the best sun that you've heard about, and you want to lay there. Knock yourselves out, boys. As for me and mine, don't call me.
Yeah.
My wife have a hard time getting me to the beach. I don't want this gritty sand on me. So now I'm finna justify to my wife that knows this about me. And it's not a permission thing. It's a respect thing. There's a such thing as unnecessary red flags. My wife's not insecure like that, but however, I'm going to ask her, you know what I'm saying? If if they have an all-male convention in Barbados 1 year, or there's a bodybuilder competition, a male bodybuilder competition in Barbados, June 3rd through 7th, and my wife come tell me, hey, me and 15 of my homegirls going to Barbados June 3rd through 7th.
What we doing?
Knock yourself out. However, you got to be mindful of what things look like, how they present to the eye. Oh, that means you're insecure. It does not. Oh, that means your spouse is insecure. It does not. What it means is I have enough respect that I'm mindful of how I present things to my spouse.
Yeah.
I'm mindful of the image that I portray of myself, especially if I don't even care about it. Right. It could be a golf trip. I'm getting into golf. I don't play golf right now. So right now I'm going to turn a golf trip down to, man, we're going to Arizona, man. They got the best golf resort this side of the Mississippi River. And we're going and we're staying for 4 days. What I'm going to do?
Yeah, I'm going to waste my money.
I'm turning that down. Oh, just say your wife won't let you go. No. Now we're going to ride some motorcycles. Call me.
Right.
You see what I mean? You didn't take enough time to, what are your interests? You know, you not on what I'm on because a thief think everybody steal. Man, stop saying stuff like that out loud about blowing these spots up about these men trips going here. I didn't.
Now you snitching on you.
You
snitching on you.
You putting, is that what go on this trip? Because I don't care.
Thinking through it in terms of how we mature through life, because that's also a thread through it. Like at this age, I thought like this. At this age, I thought different. And hopefully your 20-year-old thoughts and your 40-year-old thoughts are significantly different.
Yes. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Unless you were just that dude at 20. Even then, you don't want to be the same place a year later, let alone 20.
Yes.
I started to think about where we're getting the advice as we're young.
Yeah.
So as you're the 7, 8-year-old, 12-year-old, and you're getting advice from a 22, 25-year-old that thinks a way that's appropriate for them, but now you're transferring that as code to somebody that's 12 that really shouldn't even understand or appreciate what you appreciate in life at 25.
Correct.
And now there's this expectation, man, I can't wait till I get to, because that's where it is. And honestly, by the time that 12-year-old gets to 25, that 25-year-old is now 37, probably ain't on that no more. But I guess the code says you can't. It's like the code has a cutoff of maturity.
Yes.
Anything that happens at the wildest stage, that's where it stops.
Yes.
We talk about maturing in private. We don't talk about anything else in public. But in public, it's the go crazy, get wild, do whatever, let it all hang out. And again, I understand that phase.
Mm-hmm.
I have a version of that phase.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wish I didn't have all of the experiences that I had during that version of that phase. But it's like, if you start to talk about what you learned, from that phase that deviates from promoting that phase, now you breaking the code. So is the code to keep men stupid?
Well, to an extent, and I'm going to tell you why. The generational hand-me-down of the code is, when I was 12, to your point, I'm going to use your example. When I was 12 and your 25-year-old version of yourself told me this at 12, I already bookmarked in my mind at 25, if I'm not doing that, I'm failing at my manhood, right?
Yeah.
So now when I'm 25, though you're now 37 and retired, I got to show you I picked up the torch. I didn't let it die down. You remember you planted the seed at 12? Well, I watered it.
Flourished.
And now it flourished at 25. And here I am. I've arrived. So there's a lesson in that. We're going to unpack that at the end. So now I have to show you I'm on what you were on at 25. So now if we could turn this same exact man code into, let me give you some real seeds then. Because it's there.
Yeah.
The proof is there that
the model
these
works.
Seeds that we planting in these young male minds, it's being watered from that stage to the they're watching you like you the mile marker. Okay, at 25, I'm supposed to have 6 of them. Bet. 5 of them should know each other. Bet. I'm on it. So now when they do it and you've learned from your mistakes at 37 and then you're trying to undo in this 25-year-old what you planted back when he was 12, good luck. Was he like, man, you just got soft. You violate man code.
Yeah.
You comfortable. You done found you a little wife. Life got comfortable on you. So now you're like, oh, man, don't do this no more, young blood. Man, they don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
They feel like, nah, you done sold out. Good for you. I don't have that in my life. I want these memories that you told me were so fond and great. old head, you've just forgotten how much fun you had.
Yeah.
So I'm about to go enjoy it. You made it look so pretty to me.
Yeah.
Why I'm not going to go experience it for myself?
But I think the risk in that is it almost like shames the mature version of a person.
It does.
Like it means that life is over or there's no more enjoyment, no other kind of fulfillment in life other than that phase that we're saying is that whatever, 22 to 25, whatever it is. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting numbers to a maturity phase.
Correct.
And for some, that's 19. For some, that's still 31.
Correct.
So whatever the phase, don't get fixated on the numbers.
No.
But it creates this gap of what else should I expect in life if nobody's telling me about the life after this?
And imagine the inadequacy. Mm-hmm. If you have arrived and you allow that one coming behind you to entice you to go and dabble back in a thing that you perhaps feel like you've delivered yourself from.
Yeah.
I don't have that taste in my mouth anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let this youngster jug at me and poke at my male ego and pride, which I always say male ego and pride is a drug.
Big drug.
So now he's jugging and poking. Here come Pokey the Bear. And now you're going to go backwards to prove a point to this youngster and jeopardize everything you got going on when this is not even what you want to do anyway.
How much of the code conversation do you think influences a young man or a young boy to be something that he's not even on?
Plenty.
Because like you said, like if this is the standard and if enough people agree it's the truth, at least for a while, until you can stand on your own, until you've developed your own system, you adopt your parents' beliefs, you adopt your religion, if you're going to, like, you adopt all of that and you accept it for a while.
Yes.
And then you get to a point where even in religion, and that was my story before, like I was good at it, but I didn't have a relationship.
Right.
So it was, I'm not saying it was all for naught, but it wasn't what God actually required of me.
Right.
To be repetitious and have these habits that aren't actually tied to a relationship. So even when you think about stand on the man code thing, if all you hear or the majority of what you hear is, it looks like this, you got to have six of them. You got to have two at a time. You got to live loose. Throw a six pack back. Get bent.
Yeah.
All
of it.
Group activities.
All of it.
Which scares me. I really got to have a conversation with my son about that, because there's talk about sex and what's appropriate.
Yeah.
And then there's the debauchery that to each phase is own consensually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what that actually
the taboos does. And the risks involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good, bad, and indifferent.
Yeah. But so let's stay on the initial point of like how much of it, well, let's get personal. How much of man code stories or anecdotes defines you up until a point? And I answer the same.
A lot. Overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, the amount of things I had to undo in my life, I can't count. Toxic, like blatantly, things I know now from talking to professional counselors and educated men that are emotionally intelligent, because that's a difference. I have a newfound appreciation for emotionally intelligent men because I lend and yield my ear to that conversation. I'm not above it. I need that because I'm naturally a certain kind of way. I'm naturally aggressive. I'm naturally just riled up. You know what I mean? So I had to learn and train myself to be slower to react to something. And so the emotional intelligent versions of men, women, they have it too, but I need to see it from someone who looks like me. Yeah. It needs to be from a man. Like, okay, I expect that of a woman, but to see a man emotionally intelligent and reserved about a thing or actually sit back, no matter how much it infuriates them, they still had the discipline to sit there and absorb the entire story, scope the scene. So to your question, my whole life, man, my dad, my uncles and older males in the family, there's always been, and it's always laced with a smile or a joke, but it's still being embedded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had a nephew, man, and I applaud him. He's still with the wife he has today. is the lady he dated, like high school, they locked in. And so everybody's like, oh man, let that go. It's gonna crash out.
Miss out.
Go live your life, yeah. Man. Get loose. Let your hair down. Go experience some women and the world. And he was like, that's not me. They don't call me. And they used to be like, boy, what's wrong with you? They thought it was something wrong with him because he said, I don't want all them different women. I want this one woman right here. And she good with me. It was like, man, but you haven't even experienced. He was like, well, do I know I missed it? This a kid, man. This when he had when he had this conversation, he's 20.
Yeah.
He's at 20 arguing with 40, 50, 30-year-olds about I'm good.
Because they're trying to rationalize their life and their decision.
His good with this one woman wasn't good for these pack of men.
Yeah.
And that's a violation of man code, I'm certain, for me to have this comment.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I say this publicly, but I don't care because I'm openly trying to have these conversations with my sons and nephews. Yeah. Like, hey, that group think that, hey, man, go over there and say, do this to yourself and get yourself out here like this. But then when them consequences mash on you, find one of them that told you to go do it.
Yeah. You got to be able to stand on your own, man.
Yeah.
Have a basis for why you feel the way you feel.
And let me ask you this. You, I'm a Southern boy. Mm-hmm. You, East Coast, there's different cultures, different than the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to dare try to paint the picture of, you know, on the East or on the West and up North. But culturally, there are differences. Like, we move different and went to different areas.
Mobb Deep.
That's trash. We're talking real musicians if we're going to do music. However, what's your background with the man code or the culturally acceptable and what's not, and how much of that molded your steps into becoming, you know, your transition from a young man into your manhood?
So for me, my father was in the home, good dad. I say that as much as I can because the way that some of my stories come across is as if, man, was he orphan? No, not at all.
Right.
Good dad, but I was drawn to other things, mm-hmm. right? Because I didn't appreciate the rules and the standards that he was setting. Other things were more appealing. So I can't say I didn't know what right looked like.
Right.
But because we didn't have deep conversations about the things that he was saying were wrong, specifically when it comes to like sex or music or things like that, it wasn't enough for me.
Right.
Like the absence of the why wasn't, I was the why kid.
Mm-hmm.
Respectfully, because I keep my teeth, you know, that kind of thing. It wasn't like I could just live how I wanted to live and my parents allowed it. But I was attracted to what my father wasn't. So I gravitated toward that. It seemed more exciting. It seemed more reasonable because mm-hmm. more people than my father would live in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like you said, they conveyed it with such joy and emotion and, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, you won't believe how it feels. Like, you blah, 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 blah. Or even, I remember when I started drinking, you know, one of my partners, I ain't going.
You normally bust them.
You
going to save them today?
I'm going to let them live. One of my partners, everybody,
favoritism.
A few gonna get it, but you know, say he went away to school. He was a year ahead of me.
Yeah,
so that narrows it down. And he went away to school for the summer and came back drinking. We were drinking before, but it was like Boone's Farm.
Light
wine, spirit. You know, with spritzes and all of that.
Yeah,
and he came back. Let's get it out there. He came back drinking private stock. And it's, I don't know of a beer that your first taste is, I don't know of any alcohol where your first taste is like, this is amazing. Maybe if you had, I don't even know if a mixed drink can do it. Like, it's a taste that you got to learn to tolerate.
Yeah.
And then manage the toleration.
Yeah.
But he came back drinking private stock and we were sitting around. He was like, yo, you got to drink it down to the label, yo. On a deuce deuce, I think. I don't think it was a 40. I think it might have been a 40. But it was like, that was the pressure. And it's not about him.
Yeah.
Because that happened to him when he went to school.
Correct.
You weren't like this when you left. When you came back, your environment is typically stronger than you are. To a certain point. Until
drop something right there,
until it changes.
Young man. So
you think you're going to just hang around? No, I'm just chilling. That's what I try to tell my... I don't be and being around people that do be.
Wear it down.
Either their decision's going to impact you or you're going to start to gravitate to their decision. It just happens like that.
It's the same.
So it's like we literally sitting there in disgust. in disgust. Like, can I drink throw up? Is that an option?
That's what this is.
Can I bite this couch?
That's what this is.
Let me chew this couch, this pillow. And, you know, it was like, that was the start of it. But you get to a point where it's like, I take it to the label and beyond. And now you're proud of.
Look what I did.
This thing. And, you know, for those that, you know, live their life, so, you know, their social life, how they live it. Get it. I have no room to judge. I'm just honest about my experience.
Like, yes, sir.
This was a not ideal thing that I made ideal. And then that becomes the slippery slope to various other areas of life, let alone what happens when you're in that state and now you're around other people that are in that state and your brain hasn't even fully developed.
Imagine that. What are you going to do now?
Whatever is allowed. Whatever's allowed.
And now this becomes your new identity.
Yeah.
For perhaps indefinite or for long enough to alter a certain amount of things in your life to where the path or trajectory you were on, it's shifted.
It's different.
You don't know this. Nobody does. Even right now, there are things we're doing right now at these phases of our lives that we're constantly changing and adjusting and maneuvering.
Yeah.
What do you do? So now, as these young men are coming through, like we said earlier, if we take and right now, the big conversation locally, publicly, not just local, it's national, it's a national discussion. They're actively, we talked about it on the last episode, the impact of young black men in college.
True. You see the clip I sent you?
I did. Okay. I did. So dead on, spot on. Yeah. You know, again, yet another statistic that's talking about there are more others.
Yes, non-black.
Right. Non-black students than the black males at this historically black college, university. So now, again, a valid point you made was think about the level of exposure to entrepreneurship that's out now.
Yeah.
And information. You know, there's a lot of information that could be gained without going through a university. However, don't fall into a certain trap. Don't fall into a certain idea because now you're shorting yourself. Look at the economy right now. The exact same economy 12 months ago was to the moon. It was booming. Everything's blowing up. Oh, finally, crypto has finally found its day. It's made its mark.
100K.
And now, here we are today.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if up is down and down is up.
That's falling.
So now, because of a convenient or comfortable idea, like, you mean I don't have to go spend that dedication in college and I can go get to this money right now? Sure you can. However, if the tide turns, what do you do?
Yeah.
What have you set yourself up for? What trade or certification or justification or credential have you aligned yourself with? Because, yeah, you're flying by the seat of your pants and you're winning right now. But if the bottom fall out of this thing tomorrow, what does your pivot look like? So now the man code of that used to be what the elderly men were teaching the young men.
Yeah.
Hey, man, go get your education.
It don't work.
But come over here and let me show you how to square up this foundation.
Right.
Come
right.
Let me show you how to pour this cement.
Yeah.
Let me show you how to clean this carburetor, change this transmission. put a motor in. Push come to shove and the bottom fall out of everything, you can be self-sustaining. And then those who didn't get these lessons I'm blessing you with, they'll pay you for this information, this knowledge, this effort. So that, I feel like that faded away.
Yeah.
So that's the man code. I think that's originally where man code came from. This is how you fish. This is how you hunt. This is how you provide.
Yeah.
That's man code. So now man code had a twisted deviation.
Yeah.
At some point to where now it's always about something slippery and slithery all of a sudden. And man, let's fix that.
What jumped out to me as you were saying, I was like, man, it feels like man code has become the highlight reel.
Yeah.
Like we don't get all of the information, because it's not that men don't have all of this information, but it's the,
yes,
boy, you ain't doing nothing until you do this. And again, provided that everybody's that's involved, mm-hmm, is agreeable and, mm-hmm, consensual, like, mm-hmm, not arguing any of that.
No.
But we can't give 20% of the story and then watch with our popcorn when they falling off the cliff, when they get to the stage beyond that and they don't have any information on what that stage should be. So now, right, they got to go through that and bump their head on all of those things.
Right.
So what concerns you about, let's talk about what concerns us about our sons,
mm-hmm,
and the code that they've gotten from us. Have they gotten the code? I haven't sat down and said, son, this is man code. And I don't know that it happens like that, but maybe it should happen like that in installments where it's clear about, well, I shouldn't say that, because we've had conversations about this is what a man does. This is a man's responsibility, but I don't know that if you went upstairs, you asked them, what did that tell you about man code? I don't think I've ever specified it.
Not like that.
Yeah.
Like, again, mine has action. Been my background. Like, it's a rolling journal, right? And if I have to really point out a trend, most of the time when that topic comes up, it's from some advice that I witnessed his mom give him. She'll tell him something. And I'll catch it. And I'm like, hey, so I'll catch him by himself. I won't do it in front of her. She knows now, but I don't care.
I'm snitching on you. Yeah. Broke the code.
So I'll pull him.
Yeah.
Hey, that what your mom told you today? That's cool.
That's her perspective.
Men don't move like, yeah, that, though. That's a feminine perspective.
Yeah.
And if you do it that way, it's not going to really work out in your favor as a man.
Yeah.
Because you have to realize, and I have perception conversations with him. Like, your decision making has to be aligned with who you are, like your masculine version of yourself. Like, I'm big on masculinity.
Yeah.
Men need to be men. If this is what we doing, this is what we doing. Argue with your mama. Don't tell me, oh, you need to let him. Man. My philosophy in my home is, yeah, those under my tutelage are trying to figure out life, and I will do them a disservice if I don't give them what I have, what I've been exposed to. You've said and expressed that you see how a man moves by how I move. Why would I not give you the thought process that goes along with it?
Sure.
Because now you're acting, you're emulating, you're just doing what you see. But if you don't know or understand the philosophy behind it, you don't know how to adjust it and make it apply to you. Because this is me. You've seen Bryson. I'm 100 times more aggressive and outspoken than he is.
Yeah.
So he can find his masculinity with my philosophy and fine tune it to yourself.
Yeah.
So those are the conversations I have with him is, hey, in that scenario, man, don't listen to this. Like, I'm big on your friend's going to say this, but ask yourself, if they did not say that to you, would you move like that? So if they are not going to see the result of what they just suggested you to do, would you be equally satisfied and still make that move anyway, because it benefits you and that young lady or person that's involved with what you're about to do? If the outcome is desirable, do it. It was some sound advice.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it because, hey, he said I should. So if you're talking to her, but you're looking back at your homeboy the whole time, y'all see me talking to her, you see me finna get her, you see I'm finna get this number. Do you want the number or you want the prize of, look what I just caught and threw in my boat there, boy. So you, with Donovan and Eli's coming along, what's your approach on that as far as have you done it? Have you done it and didn't realize you were doing it now that we're sitting here thinking about it actively? Like, what does that look like for you?
So especially with Eli, I haven't had a whole lot of conversations about a man this, a man that.
Mm-hmm.
I know he sees like some of the role-based stuff we do.
Mm-hmm.
And even that needs some conversation because, as I said before, I came from a role-based house, but Keisha didn't.
Right, right, right.
So if we're not careful, it can look conflicting to them if we're not on the same page, or when we're not, because we're not always on the same page. That's just not a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're not on the same page, how do I deal with it?
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing for them to understand is that being a man looks like this.
Yes.
But it also has some level of consideration and grace and respect for other people. It's not just tearing through this thing.
Right.
Because I'm a man.
Right.
Through this thing.
Right.
So when you talk about you and Bryson and him finding his masculinity, it sparked a thought in terms of what fathers do, what men do when their sons don't model masculinity the way that they do or they have been taught or their ways that may have been antiquated. We've had several conversations on this platform that our fathers did what they could based on the information they had. Information is significantly different. So we're still acting like our fathers did at our age. That's not progress.
Yes.
So, you know, how does that, that's probably, I don't know if we would need like a counselor's input, but like how to, I can imagine that could be frustrating for some men.
Yes.
Like, even if it's simple as you gonna play football, so they play football until they get to high school and they get the courage to actually tell you in 11th grade, I've never actually liked football.
I hate it. Right.
But I'm playing this. I understand that, like, again, like you place them in things that they don't understand to give them lessons, to give them, you know, some like how to deal with, I get it. But at what point do we look up and allow them to start finding their way? We always say we want them to, and we're trying to position them to, but when that way doesn't look, it's not necessarily wrong, but when that way doesn't look like the way that we've journeyed,
yes,
or the way that we've explained based on the experiences that we had, yes, like what is that like?
I would like to do a follow-up on this. My manhood is not your manhood.
Ooh.
Because
Ooh. This
is a real thing.
Can be a series.
This is a real thing. Right. I've personally witnessed a man not knowing how to relate to his son's version of manhood, not aligning with his.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just don't have a conversation for that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to discourage it. Meaning, and I'm not talking about nothing extreme. Yeah. It's not even anything extreme. It's more of I was a star athlete. And I was traveling and I played different sports. And now the son is, I'm attempting to be a successful athlete. However, it's not really panning out for me. I'm academically sound, though. Go do that, son. Be great.
Yeah.
But he's looking, I'm constantly seeking success in the realm that you had, though, because that's when I'm doing that, that's when you're most passionate. That's when you're most engaged. That's when you actually do have conversations and words for me.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent. If I don't do so well, you're critiquing and coaching me. When I do well, you're applauding and celebrating me. But when I'm not doing sports,
zero conversation.
You see what I mean? So now these are two versions of masculinity. They're just not identical. And because you can't relate, we don't have the emotional intelligence to now figure out how do I bridge that gap with my son, who's not what I thought masculinity looks like to me, because this is how I was. That's a conversation that absolutely we must have that conversation.
I can see this being multi-part, because I definitely want to talk to, like I said, my partner that was pushing his sons in football,
mm-hmm,
and ultimately allowed them to make their choice. So he didn't, you know, I don't think he went too far in that regard, but like, how do you know how do you know when to, like when they've had enough or when they're just quitting? Like when it's, and I'm not attempting to have this conversation here, but those are the, these are kind of thoughts. So, you know, as people are listening, you know, get active in the comments. But if you think you have a perspective that's worth me on the show, one thing that I've been, putting off is figuring out the call in piece.
Yes.
I don't know that it works at when we're recording at this time, but I think coordinated, we can figure something out to have people call in and add value and express their opinions and give them unexpected twists and turns in the conversations, because we can only think from our, you know, our combined perspective, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Don't sleep on it.
Like your presence is fantastic. best perspectives in the world. There's not a perspective better than ours.
Can't miss.
But yeah, so it's, I think as we start to land the plane is man code has to be all of man's experience.
Yes.
And of course there's no novel or there's no handbook that's going to give you all of that, but we can't, I think there's a danger in limiting it to the highlight reel of your looser time. Because I don't think people would be as passionate about the conversation about going to DR with 15 guys as married men as they would about teaching your son to change the oil.
I agree.
You know, like, what would be the outrage? This oil change places every corner. Why would I do that? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we pick and choose what parts of manhood resonate with where we are in life or what we were in life, what parts of life we haven't given up or we want back. And I think that's the danger. So definitely want more feedback on what men believe manhood is, or the man code, because they're not synonymous, but one depends on the other.
That could even be another time for that the panel anniversary.
Yeah.
It's time for a panel anniversary,
and that's a perfect subject.
Yes,
that's a perfect subject.
I'd love for us to try to get that lined up sooner than later.
Yeah, well, it's on camera now, so
yeah, commit me.
So camera now.
So I'm glad we had this conversation. Like you say, just to not wrap it, but pause it, because I think we just opened a good door to a room that's just not been sat in long enough. Man, we need to get in there and really have some open discussions. And not even groupthink, not trying to agree, because now that goes against what we're the very thing we're talking about.
Exactly.
We want different perspectives in the room, not trying to be different for the sake of being different, but just I'm confident enough in how I feel about a topic dealing with man code that it matters not to me if there's not another soul in this room that agrees with this perspective. You're going to get this.
I've never had horses in my life.
Yeah.
See, and I won't.
No.
I know millions of people enjoy
them. Yeah.
They call me crazy because you ain't well, how you know? I don't need the experience.
See?
That's what my life is.
Yeah.
At. Let's get to the getting to it.
Yeah.
As always, love Keisha J. Chocolate Princess Volume 1. Trying to do more of opening it. So if you're on the audio, check us out on the video as well. But you know, pages are illustrated very well.
Very well.
Nice curated conversation or lessons.
Get to this here. Pull this out, man. Yeah. Pull this out.
Yeah. So this is the second episode that I pulled this up. So I've been talking about this book, Dear Son, 20 Life Prompts to Facilitate Effective Parenting. It's been an ebook. If people have bought the ebook, I got some good feedback from the ebook. But it even with the ebook, it works best when you print the pages out because it requires you to do some work.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a sample of the book. There's some things that I need to, that I'm currently fixing.
Yeah.
But it's a play on, it's a derivative of the conversations that were started through the quotes that I would post. And people would say, hey man, it'd be nice to have a collection of those. You ever thought about, you know, organizing them and putting them in a book just for like coffee table thing? I was like, that's cool. But to me, I needed to have more value. So it's a selection of those. And again, this is volume one, and I probably have 140 or 50 of the quotes that are original.
Yeah.
And I give you where I was or the scenario that drove that quote.
Yeah.
What experience in life did I have that got me to that quote? And then it gives you some things to work through based on your version of that experience in your life, some interaction with your kids, some interaction introspectively, So there's a journal aspect to it, but I'm proud of it. I haven't been doing what I was supposed to be doing with it. And yeah. enough people have let me know that that's not acceptable. So first iteration, I needed that because that's how my mind works. When I see something physically, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But this one, because of the, I need to do some adjustments on the layout, and, it'll be available in April, and we're recording this in April. So
let's go.
April 2025. Cause I don't know who's going to hear this next
year.
But it will be available then.
It'll be available then. It'll still be here. More volumes with it by then. Yeah, I put it out there. God. Yeah, this is just volume one.
Yeah, it is.
Can't put VOL1 at the bottom and there's no do.
Yeah.
Yeah, on camera. Y'all saw that?
Uh-huh. Pew, 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 what you got? Pew. I control the edit. So
all is good. Keep pushing. Keep paying attention. Keep being intentional. And watch how it turn out.
We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.